Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now back to Kolsky and Company on 95.7 The Game.
We are back. I'm at Kolsky. It is Kolsky and Company. Thanks again to Joe Shasky for staying up late for him. He's on the air in 10 hours, man. Morning show life ain't easy, folks. But thanks to him for staying up and chatting Niners with me. And the reason I wanted Joe on instead of, you know, some other more official guest is I really just want to hear from Niner fans. I imagine it's a great feeling right now. You should be feeling great. Great. So let's talk about it. 888-957-9570 is our phone number. Let's go to Amazon driver on Highway 1. Man, it's an interesting route for an Amazon driver because you're like going...
Highway 4.
The houses are far apart from each other. Highway 4. Well, that makes more sense. Come on, Chuck.
All the way home. Hey, how you doing?
Sorry, Amazon driver. Go ahead.
I just wanted to call. I've just been listening to your show here. I've got a lot of time, dashboard time, so I've been listening to 95.7 throughout my day. But
amen.
I was just calling, man. I'm real excited. I can't believe the Niners are one game away from the Super Bowl and how this year started. You know, I like Jimmy. I'm glad Jimmy's under the, you know, has guided this team. I don't think Trey Lance is ready. They put him in. I think Jimmy. You know, there's always that one or two plays where, you know, you like grit your teeth, like, oh no, man. But then he comes through, right? It's been proven. And I think they got the Rams number, and I can't believe the Niners are one game away from the Super Bowl. This is amazing. I'm a big Niner fan. I've been a fan since Steve Young, and Steve Young is my favorite player growing up, and it's great. I love it. I love it, man. Good time to be a Niner fan.
Amen to that. Congrats to you, Amazon driver. And yeah, I mean, it doesn't even matter if Jimmy leads them to victory or not. I don't know if I would say that, although, look, he made, what, three really nice throws on that last drive, a couple of them into pretty heavy traffic. And it looked like Joe was saying this. It looked like he had renewed arm strength on that last drive for the field goal. And frankly, like, I don't know about renewed arm strength, but Jimmy does have that thing where he it doesn't mean he's always going to play great in the clutch moments. Because, look, there were moments before that I would describe as clutch where he did the wrong thing. But someone said on the broadcast, I think, or maybe it was on Twitter, like, he really is the ultimate Ted Lasso disciple. He's a goldfish. He doesn't seem bothered by the bad plays, and nobody is more ready to fight through the tough moments. Again, doesn't mean he's always going to succeed, but he has succeeded more than he's failed. And there is something to having the kind of grit that you're ready to lead that one field goal drive that maybe never should have happened to win the game, but he's there to do it. So sure, he gets credit for that. No doubt. 888-957-9570. And look, five championship games in 11 years is nothing to sneeze at. And this team getting to where it already has is, it's impressive.
And
let's go to Robin. Oh, so before Robin, producer Chuck feels the need to insert himself. Go ahead, Chuck.
I was just giving the shouts to Robbie Gold. We haven't given enough love to this guy. He stepped up there.
Okay.
And I mean, it wasn't quite Narnia, but it was snowing. It was cold. He had the cold toe, and he went up there with the Blackfoot, and he knocked it down.
Robert Blackfoot, also known as Robbie Gold. Look, he knows. Robbie Gold's he knows about cold weather. And if there's a reason we haven't given him enough love, it's just because it hurts me. Like, everything about this game was enjoyable to me, except the fact that I'm still upset that the Bears cut Robbie Gold like 7 years ago. And watching him be largely perfect, that's a slight exaggeration, but be largely very good for the Niners has been a special little torture for me all these years. Nevertheless, I was happy he made the field goal, and I never had any doubt. I mean, that man's perfect in the playoffs, and plenty of his playoff appearances have been under less than ideal circumstances. And now we can go to Robin in San Francisco, as we were destined to do. What's happening, Robin?
Hey, Koski, I got a lot to say, so let me see if I can get them all out in one sentence. First of all, I saw that walk off Robbie Gold, Steph Curry version. I called it, Koski. He was smooth as a cucumber, wasn't he? I caught it. He looked at it and turned his head. I caught it, Koski. So, yeah. Also, too, I wanted to say that you cracked me up, Koski, because what was that you say? Jimmy screws up, but he gets back on and keeps on kicking. Like, good looking.
He does, man.
And he does. He does. He's like, I got this. It reminds me of a time when Beyonce was performing. She fell dead on her damn face, but she got right back up, swung her head, and kept on moving. I said, well, you go ahead, diva. That reminded me. That's Jimmy all the way. I swear it is. And what I want to say, too, is, and I might have misunderstood you, you know, the Bills game in Kansas City, that was a great game. But for me, I'm old school. I like snow, smash mouth football. So I enjoyed the Niners game better because it took me back to the days when they used to really, because they was hitting out there. They tried to kill Debo.
Oh, yeah.
And Debo was strong-arming them. They were out there trying to hit in the snow and everything. That's my kind of football. And Cal wants to run it down your throat, okay? And so I like that kind of football. And so then I also want to say that people who are also on Jimmy because he doesn't throw and this and this and this and that, and he's really not great. Let me tell you another quarterback. You might disagree with me, but I'm going to tell you a quarterback. I wouldn't say he was average, but I'm going to tell you what really is great as people think he is, but that was Terry Bradshaw, because they had defense and they had run too. And Terry Bradshaw, he wasn't what you consider this great, great quarterback. Another one is Drew Brees, okay? So I think we need to just chill on Jimmy a little bit. And so I'm feeling good, but I stay on social media because I get annoyed because you still got these people out here. Trey Lance is gone. This is not about him right now. Let that ship go and enjoy this. And the most exciting Niners game to me ever was Joe Montana's 98 drive to beat the Cincinnati Bengals. Go Niners and go Koski.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you. Wonderful, as always, to hear from you. Tremendous stuff. Where do I want to start? The comparisons, Drew Brees is not, I'm not willing to go there with you. I think in many ways, Jimmy Garoppolo is like some really great Hall of Fame quarterbacks from a long time ago. It's just the game has changed to where it's my and many other people's opinions that you just probably need more to be a consistently great team. You just probably want someone better than those guys. But statistically, and even in terms of like level of mistakes, the difference is in those days, that level of mistake and statistic was, you know, good. It puts you above your peers. And now it puts you in the middle, maybe slightly below. That's all. But I mean, if we compare statistically, Jimmy probably compares favorably to guys like Bradshaw and Aikman.
Can I jump in real quick? Is that
yeah?
Sorry that I rudely interrupted last time. Terry Bradshaw in his rookie year, 1970. I had no idea. I mean, that's a little before my time. I'm a young, spry guy. Six touchdowns, 24 interceptions.
Right. Well, I mean, picking the guy's rookie year isn't that nice.
Six
but,
touchdowns,
I mean,
24 interceptions. How did he have a career after that?
Yeah, again, like the level of quarterback play that was tolerated was very, very different. The game was entirely different. So it's a tough comparison to make, but I mean, I see what you're getting at. And I think maybe more to the point, like that is the best way to defend Jimmy is that he's like an old school quarterback. He doesn't have the firepower of the best guys now, but he's tough as nails and he's going to keep on ticking, man.
And Trent Dilfer still got that ring.
That's right, and a lot of times that's good enough if the rest of your team is really excellent. I just, again, it's a bigger argument about Jimmy because right now it doesn't matter. He's the guy you got, and like Robin said, Trey Lance, like if Trey Lance plays this year, it's because something has gone horribly wrong. For all intents and purposes, Trey Lance is a fall of 2022 topic. There's no reason to talk about him now. There's no reason to think we're going to see him, especially because it seems like no matter what happens to Garoppolo, he finds a way to stay in the game when it's playoff time. And that's another thing that is a credit to him and his toughness. Shout out Jimmy Garoppolo. Sorry, I lost my call screener sheet, but I'll be back there in a second. Antonio in Oakland is up next. If you want to jump in, 888-957-9570 is the phone number. What's happening, Antonio?
Oh, good, man. I mean, great. Like, we won a playoff game against the Packers. We beat Aaron Rodgers, man. He's the LeBron James of the LeBron James is to the Warriors. How we own him. That's how the Niners own Aaron Rodgers, man. And our friend Seven's on par with the Harbaugh friend Seven, the 49ers, I think, man. I'm not saying it's better, but I think it's on par, man. These guys are like 8 or 9 deep on the pass rush, and then our three linebackers now equal the two Willis. Maybe not two of our guys now, but three equals those two. But hey,
I don't know.
And I'm going on a limb. But we got weapons all over the place, man. Offense and defense. These teams can't stop us. We in the Final Four and we face those fraudulent Rams. You know, we beat them six times in a row. And when I think of six times in a row, I think of when Michael Jordan won his sixth title and he's holding five fingers and then one on the other hand. You know, that's how many times we beat the Rams. So we own them, and I think we're going to do the same thing this coming Sunday, man. That is what I think. We just match up too good with them.
Yeah, you know, I'm not in prediction mode yet, but there's no reason not to feel good. Like, I don't want to hear the old nonsense about it's tough to beat a team three times in a season. Not if you're better than them. Not if you have their number. So we'll see. My concerns are real. They're not the imaginary three times rule. It's, you know, is Trent Williams healthy enough to deal with the pass rush that will be in front of him? Is anyone on the interior of the Niners line equipped to slow Aaron Donald down even a little bit? How will the corners hold up against Cooper Kupp? Although, I got to say, like, the reason I would not have agreed with Antonio, beyond the fact that they're, you know, Fred Warner and whoever's next to him are nice. Fred's great, but Bowman and Willis is other level. So linebacker play is not close. But the main reason that I feel like this defense isn't as good as, say, 2019 or the Harbaugh Super Bowl defense. It's mostly the secondary. And, gosh, the safeties are playing so well, and the defensive line is making the cornerbacks' jobs easier. And, look, hopefully Ambry Thomas is healthy enough to play by next week, which just gives you more depth at that position and makes it less likely that we'll see Josh Norman at any point. Maybe this defensive secondary isn't as bad as I was worried about. I mean, clearly it's not. Maybe this defense is as good. 2019, you just had more juice in the pass rush. I mean, DeForest Buckner in the middle, as good as this pass rush has been, there is no DeForest Buckner on this team. As good as Arik Armstead was, you know, and look, Bosa just plays a different position. But, yeah, Buckner is missed relative if we're comparing to that defense. But overall, it's hard to argue with the results. Cowboys were supposed to be an incredible offense. You more or less shut them down. And sure, it was cold, but after one big opening drive, the defense really didn't let Green Bay do anything all day. I don't care what the weather's like. That's an incredible performance. 888-957-9570 if you want to talk some Niners after just a wildly good weekend of football. Doug in Berkeley is up next. What is going on, Doug?
Hey, Matt. Great to hear you. And just great to be a Niners fan right now. I mean, what is better than this? Going up to supposedly the frozen tundra. We were supposed to be afraid. And I want to hear your take on this, because we were gritty, we were gutsy, we were tough. Jimmy was up and down, but more up than down. But there is a little bit of, we had 12 men on the field. Our 12th man was the weather. The weather suits our type of play much more than it suits Aaron Rodgers and the Packers' style of play. You don't hold Aaron Rodgers to 10 points under normal conditions. So,
Doug, don't cut Doug off, but Doug, I tend to agree with you. In fact, I said as much last week before the game that I thought the weather actually played in the Niners' favor more than most visitors, but it's not like Aaron Rodgers has never played in the snow before. So, weather's a factor, but I actually think the Niners' defense was a bigger factor in that performance than the weather was, to be honest.
I'm not taking anything away from the Niners' performance, but I do think that there was, if you want, a home field disadvantage for Aaron Rodgers, because as good as our defense can be, holding Aaron Rodgers to 10 points under normal conditions, who does that?
It's tough. Nobody. You're right. That's true. I completely agree that it was a benefit. But I think even with the benefit of weather, that's a tremendous defensive performance. And, you know, holding him to 10 points, whatever, that takes it out of context a little bit, because it really was like they showed up a little late. That first drive, they were getting pushed around a little bit. I was surprised. Because that has not been the issue this year. Other than that terrible Colt McCoy game. But after that first drive, the defense showed up in full force, man. And it was impressive, even though the weather probably helped them do their job. I'm being told that Steve in San Francisco has a hard out. Steve is taking his break from work, and he's got to get back. So let's make sure we get him in before our next break. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate you taking my call. So I've been a Niner fan for longer than I even want to say. Okay, was I like John Brody long? Okay, so, but anyway, this is crazy what's happening. This is nuts. I mean, when is the last time you saw the 49ers block a punt? I mean, I'm talking about never. I could go back 10 years. I don't even remember ever seeing them block a punt or especially a field goal. So something's happening here. Something's happening here that's, I don't know. I don't know what it is, man, but I'll be honest with you. I might have given up for one moment in that last game. You know, maybe it was when, you know, right before that blocked punt for a touchdown, maybe. Uh-huh. I said, well, maybe we're not going to admit, but I just – and then coming here on Monday talking to everybody, you know, that I run into today, God, it's great. Like the last caller said, it's great. Man, this is great.
Steve, that's why I wanted to talk to Niner fans today, is because that's what it should be. Like, this is what sports is about, right? That, like, you're still buzzing on Monday from a Saturday football game where a lot of it was crap. But, oh, and this was something Robin said that I didn't address right after her call, but I think she did misunderstand me. I was saying I would like for whatever team I'm dealing with or rooting for to have one of the quarterbacks from the Sunday night game. But in terms of which game did I enjoy the most, it was the Niners and Packers by far. Not only do I get another week of football to talk about on this show, not only does Aaron Rodgers' smug, obnoxious ass get beat in his own stadium, and God, I hate the Packers and I love it when they lose at all times, but it was just, it was old school football. I love that stuff too, Robin, and everyone. The show's not just for, I mean, it's primarily for Robin, what I do here, but not exclusively. But that's my, I mean, I grew up watching snowy football. I grew up playing football in the snow. Like, that was when we went out and played football in the backyard the most. Tackling in, like, a real, like, when we had a big snow in Chicago and you had, like, a nice 6-inch buffer in the backyard, the hits got very violent. But I love that stuff. And it was a violent game. I mean, football in general, but in particular on Saturday night, it got violent. It was, however, just a fantastic weekend top to bottom. Just, I really believe it was the greatest weekend of playoff football I've ever been witness to. And if anyone has, you know, another one to suggest, I'm all ears, but nothing I can think of. And, you know, my favorite team isn't involved. Obviously, the Niners, who I cover, are involved, and that drew my interest. But, you know, other than producer Chuck, I have no connection whatsoever to Bengals Titans, and I barely care about the other games. Barely care. But on a level of just pure entertainment, this was as good as it gets, and I want to talk about all of it coming up next. Plus, we got to give producer Chuck his moment to do whatever the who day or whatever it is they do in that godforsaken city. All of that, and
you
a beautiful, wonderful, beautiful. Have some chili, Chuck. A beautiful, wonderful weekend of football, and producer Chuck gets his moment. Coming up after this, it's Kolsky and Company on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Kolsky and Company on 95.7 The Game.
We are back. It's a victory Monday yet again. A beautiful day for Niner fans and, well, I guess also for Chiefs fans and Rams fans and even the Bengals fans. And our producer Chuck is representing that last contingent. So look, Chuck, welcome to the party, man. This is as far as the Bengals have been in your, like, alert lifetime. Is that true?
It's as far as any team that I root for has gone. I've mentioned on this show many times, yes, how no professional Cincinnati sports team has advanced in the playoffs since I've been on this earth. So I really don't know how
since
to
you've
feel
been
right
on
now.
Earth. So
since
wait, what year were you born?
1992. So I think the Reds won like a wild card back in 96 that I don't really remember, so that doesn't count.
So really, like, for all we know, it could have been you, because was it 91 that the Bengals last won a playoff game?
Yeah, it was 91, and then it was 90 the Reds won the World Series. So it was actually a pretty good sports town before I came to this earth. And then I've just I've been a loser ever since. And I mushed the Bills yesterday. I mushed the Bills terribly yesterday. I was at the Warriors game covering Jazz Warriors. A great game there. And final 30 seconds of the game, I had been tweeting this out for days, weekend of the road dogs, because that was my philosophy last weekend. The road dogs were all going to get it done. And so with 13 seconds left, the Bills, I thought they'd pulled it out, and I tweeted, my work here is done. Oh, well, I mushed them!
Yeah, you hurt me bad with that, because I thought it was the weekend of the road dogs as well. And I picked, in my picks pool, I picked three road dogs to win. Unfortunately, I flipped the road dogs on Sunday. I had the Buccaneers and the Bills, dang it.
Yikes.
So, shows how much I know. But boy, that Bills-Chiefs game, boy, that was good. All right, we'll get back to Chuck and his perverted love for Cincinnati and the other games in just a second. But I want to get these last two calls first. Is it Daryl or Darrell? What are we going with here? Oh, we've lost him anyway, so forget him. Well, if it was Daryl the Guru Johnson and he hung up because he had to listen to Chuck, that's rude. I'm going to text him. Matthew, somewhere in the Bay Area. What's happening, Matthew?
Hey, man. I'm from Fremont, California, born and raised in the Bay Area, diehard 49er fan. And I just got to say, man, I'm still in awe from that game. I'm just, you know, every morning I wake up with a smile on my face. And I'm just, you know, I love being a 49er fan right now. And it all comes down to, I think it all comes down to we own the Green Bay Packers. You know, we're 4-0 against them in the playoffs. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers just chokes. And,
I love it. I love it. I love that the Niners own the Packers in the playoffs. What a delightful time for me to be working in Bay Area sports. It's a beautiful thing. Just a beautiful thing. All right, I do want to get to these other games. Which of those four games did you... You know what? Three. Forget the Bengals game. Which of the other three, Chuck, did you feel like was the most compelling?
I'd say Buccaneers-Rams. Bills,
really?
Chiefs, I think they were about on the same level, but the fact that Brady went down that much, he was a ragdoll in that first half. I mean, I had never seen Brady so rattled, or at least if I had, it had been a while.
Well, yeah, it's been a minute, but you know, there were some years where he looked that rattled more often because the Patriots' offensive line wasn't holding up, and those were the years that we incorrectly thought maybe he was done. You know, that and all the can he play next year stuff makes you think a little, but I got to say, he still was so incredible all year long. And the fact that he nearly brought them back is just so Tom Brady, obviously, 27-3.
Oh, he didn't nearly bring them back. He brought them back.
No, you're right. He did. And I can't believe the way that game... I mean, Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator, has gotten a lot of love, and I think rightfully so. And I don't know if that's a brain fart or what, but to not have more attention paid to Cooper Kupp in that situation is shocking to me. You had overtime on a platter. It was there for you.
What about Cooper Kupp makes him so damn good? Is it just the straight up route running? He's a little more physical than we give him credit
for.
No, I don't. Why is he so good?
It's everything. He's just one of those dudes. They're just those dudes. He has a little bit of. It's not quite the same, just because the sports are so different. But there's a little bit of the Draymond Green thing, where if like we try to explain for too long why Cooper Kupp is so good, you just get lost in the weeds. He's just one of those dudes that. It's never going to totally make sense how damn good he is. Especially at that position. Like, almost all of the elite wide receivers are physical freaks. And look, Cooper Kupp's a great athlete, but he's not a Julio Jones. You know what I'm saying? He's not a Randy Moss.
Now, did you see the tweet that all these guys, so it was Joe Burrow, it was Aaron Donald, it was Josh Allen, there was a list, Patrick Mahomes, all these guys were like 2- and 3-star recruits coming out. Did you see that? It's the year of the underdog.
It's interesting because, I mean, some of these dudes were even underdogs. Well, at least one of them when they got drafted. I mean, Stafford, you could argue, has been an underdog even coming into this year just because, and I think fairly so, people wondered. And that's another thing I got to say. I didn't think Stafford had it in him. Like, if you asked me, Stafford has this one throw to make to send his team to the conference championship, or he misses it and they go to overtime, I guess miss. But that was a beauty. He nailed him.
With a Dominican Sue in his face.
Yes. Yeah, with Sue in his face. And just in general, look, Matthew Stafford is a risk taker, and there will always be some mistakes attached to that. But I think in general, he's shown over the course of the season that, you know, he's always been pretty damn good. He's just been on the Lions. And in the same way that Sean McVay is probably saying, look what I can do when you give me a quarterback, Matthew Stafford is saying, look what I can do when you give me a team. And to your point about Brady, right, just the – that is, if we're going to start to look forward, which we don't have to do just yet, but that is the biggest worry. Like Jimmy Garoppolo – you know, we don't even need to argue about how well he's played in these first two playoff games. He's had some great moments. What we do know is that when he's under constant duress, it can get really bad. And that's something concerning when you've got Trent Williams potentially hobbled and a Rams team that does seem to be firing on all cylinders coming to town. Or I guess you're going to their town, even though it's going to be a home game at their stadium. Did you guys see the Rich Eisen bit about this opportunity the Niners now have?
No.
Obviously, like this is a huge playoffs for SoFi Stadium, where the Super Bowl will be played. In fact, the winner of this game this weekend will be playing the Super Bowl. And in some ways, hosting the Super Bowl at SoFi Stadium 2 weeks later. If the Niners beat the Rams in the conference championship at SoFi, at a SoFi that'll be minimum 55% red, and then go, God forbid, win the Super Bowl in the first Super Bowl at the Rams' shiny new stadium, there will be an eternal cosmic edge for the Niners at the home of one of their chief rivals. It would be a pretty incredible thing to do.
Such a weird football market. You know, it's Raiders country, but at the same time...
Say what you mean. It's a bad football market.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's good, but it's not. You know what I mean?
Well,
I mean,
it's huge. Yeah, I mean, it's huge. And they, you
incredible
know,
high school talent coming out of there.
Yeah, and the NFL had to get there. And it's not that there aren't football fans in L.A.
It's going to take some time,
Yes, they've all developed allegiances to teams all over the country. And I don't know, you know, it's definitely going to take some time. But B, I just don't know at this stage of sports consumption how easy it is to build a fan base for a team. Kids like players, right? I mean, that's what I keep hearing. Kids like players. They don't care as much about teams.
And you got Sunday brunch in L.A.? I mean...
All right. Well, calm down now. Not everybody is a failed actor.
They love their brunches there.
They do
Hold on. You don't like Sunday brunch?
They do love their brunch.
Sunday brunch is awesome. Let's not knock that.
I'm not hating. I'm not hating.
Bottomless mimosas?
There's nothing wrong with Sunday brunch.
It's awesome.
It's just, you know, I would imagine Chuck is like me, and it's Sunday brunch is mostly a summertime affair.
I just bring that up because the last time I was there, I was like, hey, you guys want to flip on the Rams game? They're like, no, we don't have TVs at our brunch. So that's a thing.
Where'd you go to brunch?
West Hollywood. There's the answer.
No, but literally where? Give me the restaurant it was?
The patio, the I don't know, something like that.
Did you go to the Grove?
No.
I don't think that's in West Hollywood. I don't know LA. I don't know why I asked like I would. I might. I spent a lot of time in and out of LA. Anyway, you're going to take over that stadium. And that brings me to another thing I wanted to mention tonight. This ticketing policy, beyond being soft, and it clearly is soft, like, it's soft on multiple levels. It's soft on the franchise level that we were just discussing, you know, the fact that this franchise doesn't really have a fan base where it lives. They screwed their fan base over and left them 3,000 miles away. But it's also, and I doubt that Sean McVay or Matthew Stafford has any input in ticketing decisions. And for anyone who doesn't know what I'm talking about, the Rams are attempting to restrict ticket sales to people within some geographical radius of LA. And it's like, it is quite literally one of the most obviously not going to work things I've ever seen in my life. Aftermarket sales, and by the way, every single San Francisco resident has someone in LA that will buy them a ticket if they want. Like, it's not going to work. It's not. Ultimately, what it comes down to is how many people within striking distance really want to go really bad to the game. And there are more Niner fans within striking distance than Ram fans, no matter how you cut it. We've seen it. I saw somebody on Twitter today calling it, like, you know, the level of motivation to attend or something like that. And the Niner fan base just blows the California Ram fan base out of the water. And the people in St. Louis are upset. They're not coming out. So they're going to have Niner fans in the stadium no matter what they do. And to me, the just out-and-out softness of trying to do it this way, trying to keep Niner fans out this way, is not only soft from the organization in whoever's making the decision, but it reflects a fear from the team. And again, this may be no fault of the team whatsoever. In fact, I highly doubt the team has any involvement in this. But it's still the message that you're putting out into the world. It's not, I mean, this football, for God's sakes. The attitude of the team should be, I don't give a bleep who's in the stands. We're going to absolutely demolish those dudes. And just the whole attitudinal association of, well, we're going to try not to sell to Niner fans because we're afraid they're going to take over our stadium. It reeks of an owner who's more worried about personal pride than his football team. What's up, Chuck? I see you leaning towards the microphone.
I was kind of bobbing in, you know, waiting to say something, waiting to bring it out. I wanted to just completely change the subject for a second, but keep it in terms of the Niners. At what point this year did you, because you talked about the whole Damon Bruce thing earlier and how everyone kind of had this team for the dead and, all right, let's just get through this year. Next year's the year where we start to see what we're made of with the Trey Lance project coming into fruition, and no one thought this team was going to do anything in the playoffs if they made it. At what point after that Colts game when everyone was talking about all this misery did this team start to figure it out? Because to me it was when they started throwing Debo in the backfield.
Interesting.
Maybe that first Rams game, maybe Cincinnati. At what point did you start to believe? 888-957-9570.
You have 5 minutes. Hurry. Someone on the text line says they've stopped the sales restriction already because of the backlash. Is that real?
On Ticketmaster. I was reading the article earlier. It was about like six hours ago.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, Ticketmaster was like, we ain't losing money. let's stop this.
That's interesting. I'm going to have to read into that. I missed that development. Either way, the damage is done. At that point, you might as well have just kept the restriction. The damage is done. The game's still going to sell out. And by the way, like, Niner fans are going to pay thousands of dollars on the secondary market to go. Okay, But to what you're saying, Chuck, I think that's a really interesting marking point, except that I don't immediately know when it is. I thought what you said to me earlier, or perhaps you wrote it down in the pre-show notes, that it was that first Rams game. Is that the same? Is that the first time we saw Debo really becoming a running back?
I think so. It was right around then. But my point to all of this is, you know, they've had really good players. Maybe they've just been good all year. Aside from a stinker, a couple stinkers against Arizona. And who did they have that other stinker against? You know, the Colts game, whatever. They got away from them late. There was one other stinker. Seattle. Two Seattle games. You take away that, they've beaten pretty good teams all
year. Tennessee.
They looked fine against Tennessee. I mean,
they did not.
They almost won. It's not about style points, Matthew. It's about being in the game at the final buzzer, and they were right there. Lost at the horn.
Well, but
right?
If you're judging like how good is a team, it's kind of about style points.
I'm just saying
they've
been in just about every single game this season. They've been a few mistakes, a few possessions away. So all it took was, you know, ironing out a few wrinkles for them to be in these positions, and that's what it's basically came down to these last 4 weeks. It's come down to making a few plays here and there, and that's the difference between them being out of this thing 3-4 weeks ago when they lost to the Rams and them having another shot against the Rams at Southern California Levi's.
Yeah. And by the way, that's the exact moment. Debo went from not carrying the ball as a rusher in 3 straight weeks to 5 rushes for 36 yards against the Rams in that first, you know, in the blowout win. And since then, he's run it a minimum of 5 times a game. And God, has he been good, man. Debo Samuel, I've said this a number of times now, for my money, he is as valuable a non-quarterback as we have in this league. Well, non-Aaron Donald division. What Debo does for this offense is every bit as valuable to me as what Nick Bosa does for the defense, or what a great pass rusher in general. Aaron Donald is on the level of his own, but what a normal great pass rusher does for a defense, to me, what Debo does for the offense, because it's everything. Honestly, every time he's in the game, no matter what his role is, whether he's a decoy, whether he's blocking for a run play, he is a high-level asset, no matter what task he's performing. Quickly, before we head to the break and then our best of hour, Nick on the 101, a last-second call. What's going on, Nick?
Hey, Matt. Love the show. Yeah, I agree with everything with Debo, but really the moment that I started to believe was when Jimmy came back against the first Green Bay game, when he drove the team down the field and took the lead with 30 seconds left. And then we left Aaron Rodgers as 2 incredible plays. But that was the moment for me when I thought, hey, Jimmy can come back against the best teams in the NFL and lead the team to victory. And that inspired a lot of confidence in me that moment. Thanks so much, Matt. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks, Nick. Appreciate the call. But something tells me that 3 straight losses later, you weren't quite as confident. Because that was the beginning of an ugly stretch for this team. So I don't know. It is what it is with Jimmy Garoppolo. And it's positive vibes only tonight. So Jimmy's going to be Jimmy, but we've seen Jimmy be Jimmy and this team win, and there's no reason that can't continue this week after what I just saw on Saturday night. An amazing football weekend, an amazing 49er win, and we got a couple of amazing football guests from today on 95.7 The Game that we're going to hear from on that win and that weekend. Coming up right after this, it's Kolsky and Company on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.